the process is a court-ordered process. So we would receive paperwork indicating that this record is sealed, it needs to be removed. We would notify Oregon State Police. I'm not aware of any challenges of someone wanting to make sure that it's verified that it has been removed. So I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Well, what about somebody who's arrested but then released or even is found to have been falsely arrested? Did their print stay in the system?
That would be, then a court order would have to be issued to us to remove it.
So somebody would have to ask?
Correct. Generally, it would come from the courts, the judge, if it was determined to be a false arrest, say on a warrant. If we're made aware that the warrant is a false arrest, which our current processes with the identification technicians, we generally catch those front end before the person is even fingerprinted and those prints are submitted to the state, because we have on record the fingerprints of the warrant of the person that the warrant is for. So say someone is arrested with a similar name, date of birth, physical features, brought to jail. They'll be fingerprinted at the booking intake process. Prints would come up to our office. A technician would verify those prints and determine, though the name may be the same, the prints don't match. We would then do additional work at that point to determine it. But under a normal circumstance, if somebody were arrested, say there was not a state ID number associated to that warrant, they would be fingerprinted, those prints would be sent to the state, and then we would be notified through the court process that these prints need to be removed from the system.
So the fingerprints that our technicians do are not automatically sent to this system unless the person is processed. If they're released from the jail because it's found that they're not the right person, would those fingerprints be entered into the system?
Generally speaking, no.
Thank you.
Other questions? Great. Thank you both. Feel better soon.
I feel better, but I just can't talk.
Thank you. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this item?
I didn't have one for this.
One? Okay, please.
Oh, come on up. Mr. Waltz would like to speak.
There wasn't a sign-up sheet.
Okay, Joe, come on up.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. Just to follow up a little bit on what Commissioner Fritz talked about, it seems to me that we're caught in a catch-22 here. We have people that do protest and that actually are arrested. They're fingerprinted. Their picture is taken. Now they're in the system. But when they go to trial, either the charges are dropped or they're found not guilty. It seems to me to be logical that once that happens, that we seal the records, that this person is considered not guilty or no charges were brought, but they're in the system. So I don't know if I'm clear on what I'm saying here, but it has a potential, I think, that we shouldn't have records on people that are either innocent or not guilty. You understand what I'm saying? And when I was listening to the Commissioner Fritz, I just realized that 30 years ago, I was an intern for an assemblyman in California, and we did some research on what happens when you're arrested. What's the process? And here we are with the same problem 30 years later, that you have innocent people in the system. And I'm also reminded that if you go to community court, one of the things that the judge says is if you do the 8 hours of community service, the records are closed. There is no record of you being in the system, which isn't true, because I've been arrested a number of times. And after finishing the 8 hours of community service, the records were supposed to be sealed, but they weren't. So that it seems to me, listening to your staff, that there's something in the state regulations that bars us from closing these records. Does anybody know that? If we're not barred by the state, we should do it. That would be my position. That if a person is found innocent or not guilty, they should not be part of the system. Should be expunged automatically without a court order. So that's my position on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Further discussion? Roll call on the emergency ordinance.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I think these are valid concerns and something that we should continue to look into. Aye.
Hales.
There are important civil liberties concerns that we have whenever we keep records on people, so I'm glad we had that discussion. It's also good that we have this technology working for us when we're trying to apprehend serious criminals. About 10 days ago, Edward Patton Jr. was gunned down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at 60th and Killingsworth, and the police bureau is, as we speak, seeking his murderer. The fact that this kind of information exists might, in that or many other cases, lead to an arrest and a conviction. So that's why we keep this information. It's important for all of us involved to remember that's why we keep this information. Aye. Next item.
298. Create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Northeast 52nd Avenue and Alberta Street Local Improvement District.
Second reading and roll call.
Fish.
Andrew, thanks as always for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Well, this park and the nice pedestrian and street environment around it are going to be a great new place to gather in Portland. Thank you, Andrew. Aye. And we are recessed until 2 p.m. Stan?